Welcome to Zikhu Daf Siman Yom Rav Avraham Goldar and today Maseches Bava Basra Daf Kuf Samach, beginning the 10th Perek, Get Pashut. So the three topics we're going to focus on. Number one, the 10th Perek begins, Get Pashut Edim Masocho, in a straight star. Its Edim are signed on the inside at the end of the text. Makusha Edim Me'acharav, in a bound star, its Edim are signed on the outside. If a Get Pashut was signed on the outside or a Get Makusha was signed on the inside, it's invalid. Rabbi Chanim ben Gamliel says that a get makusha which was signed on the inside is valid because one can make it a straight star by unsewing and opening its folds. Rabbi Chanim ben Gamliel says everything follows the local custom. The Mishnah continues, get pashut eda b'shnayim, a straight star, requires at least two edim. Makusha b'shlosha, and a bound star, requires at least three edim. The Rashbam adds that there cannot be any folds without a signature. If a get pashut was signed by only one aid, or a get makusha was signed by only two edim, it's invalid. Point number two, Amoraim provides several sources in the Torah for the concept of a get makusha and its unique requirements. However, these sources are all rejected, and the Gemara concludes, el makushim of the Rabban. Rather, the concept of a bound star was rabbinically instituted, and the psukim quoted were intended as an asmachta. The reason they instituted this type of star is because there was a place of kahanim who were easily upset, who would impulsively divorce their wives in a moment of anger and could not remarry them after calming down. The rabbis instituted a get makusha, which requires time to prepare, so in the meantime, they would calm down. Although this reason only applies to a get of divorce, they required all their shtaros to be makusha, kadeshu techalik ben gittin l'shtaros, so as not to distinguish between gittin and other documents. And point number three, the Gemara asks, Heichan Edim Chosmin, where do Edim sign on a Get Makusher? Rav Huna says, Ben Kesher L'Kesher, between one fold and the next fold. Rav Yirmiyah Bar Abba says, Acharei Aksav U'Keneged Aksav M'Chutz, behind the text, opposite the text on the outside. The Gemara clarifies that Rav Huna also means the Edim sign on the back of the star, but holds they sign between the individual folds on the outside. The Gemara asks that we should be concerned that the one holding the star will write whatever he wants at the end of the star, since the Edim already signed on the back, as opposed to an ordinary star where the Edim are signed at the bottom, or a Get Makusha, according to Rav Yirmiyah Bar Abba, who holds the Edim signatures run parallel the entire text in front. The Gemara answers that the star must end with the words Shari Rakayim, firm and established, and nothing may be added afterwards. This phrase is only written once, and if the holder attempts to erase it and rewrite it later after his fraudulent addition, the entire star will be invalidated. So once again, the 3 points are number one. The 10th parak begins, Get Pashut Edim Masocho, in a straight star, its Edim are signed on the inside at the end of the text. Makusha Edim Me'acharav, in a bound star, its Edim are signed on the outside. If a Get Pashut was signed on the outside or a Get Makusha was signed on the inside, it's invalid. Rabbi Chanim ben Gamliel says that a Get Makusha which was signed on the inside is valid because one can make it a straight star by unsewing and opening its folds. Rabbi Chanim ben Gamliel says everything follows the local custom. The Mishnah continues, Get Pashut Eda B'Shnayim, a straight star, requires at least two Edim. Makusha B'Shlosha, and a bound star, requires at least three Edim. The Rashbam adds that there cannot be any folds without a signature. If a Get Pashut was signed by only one Aid, or a Get Makusha was signed by only two Edim, it's invalid. Point number two, Amoraim provides several sources in the Torah for the concept of a Get Makusha and its unique requirements. However, these sources are all rejected, and the Gemara concludes, El Makusha of the Rabban. Rather, the concept of a bound star was rabbinically instituted, and the psukim quoted were intended as an asmachta. The reason they instituted this type of star is because there was a place of kahanim who were easily upset, who would impulsively divorce their wives in a moment of anger and could not remarry them after calming down. The rabbis instituted a Get Makusha, which requires time to prepare, so in the meantime, they would calm down. Although this reason only applies to a get of divorce, they required all their shtaros to be makusha, kadeshu techalik ben gittin l'shtaros, so as not to distinguish between gittin and other documents. And point number three, the Gemara asks, Heichan Edim Chosmin, where do Edim sign on a Get Makusher? Rav Huna says, Ben Kesher L'Kesher, between one fold and the next fold. Rav Yirmiyah Bar Abba says, Acharei Aksav U'Keneged Aksav M'Chutz, behind the text, opposite the text on the outside. The Gemara clarifies that Rav Huna also means the Edim sign on the back of the star, but holds they sign between the individual folds on the outside. The Gemara asks that we should be concerned that the one holding the shtar will write whatever he wants at the end of the shtar, since the Edim already signed on the back, as opposed to an ordinary shtar where the Edim are signed at the bottom, or Gemakusha, according to Rav Yirmiyahu or Ba'aba, who holds the Edim signatures run parallel the entire text in front. The Gemara answers that the shtar must end with the words Shari Rakayim, firm and established, and nothing may be added afterwards. This phrase is only written once, and if the holder attempts to erase it and rewrite it later after his fraudulent addition, the entire shtar will be invalidated. All right, so now we go to Siman Daf Kuf Samach, and here by far the most popular suggestion was a kos and a kos shel Eliyahu. So we're using a kos shel Eliyahu as the siman. Here goes. The Kohen who kept samples of a get pashut and get mokusher in his large kos shel Eliyahu to remember how they differ got easily upset and impulsively wanted to divorce his wife when she didn't know where he put the kos and had three friends come over to practice writing their signatures between one fold and the next fold on the outside. So once again, slow motion. The Kohen who kept samples of a get pashut and get makusher in his large kos shel Eliyahu, that must be learned off Kuf Samach. The Kohen who kept samples of a get pashut and get makusher in his large kos shel Eliyahu to remember how they differ, which reminds us, the 10th parak begins, get pashut edim masocho, in a straight star, it's edim or sign on the inside at the end of the text, makusher edim ma'acharav, in a bound star, it's edim or sign on the outside. The Mishnah continues, get pashut edav b'shnaim, a straight star requires at least two edim, makusha b'shlosha, and a bound star requires at least three edim. The Rashbam adds that there cannot be any folds without a signature. If a get pashut was signed by only one ed, or a get makusha was signed by only two edim, it's invalid. So the Kohen kept samples of a get pashut and get makushar in his large kos shel Eliyahu to remember how they differ, got easily upset and impulsively wanted to divorce his wife when she didn't know where he put the kos. Which reminds the Gemara teaches that the reason a get makushar was instituted is because there was a place of kahanim who were easily upset, who would impulsively divorce their wives in a moment of anger and could not remarry them after calming down. The rabbis instituted a get makushar, which requires time to prepare, so in the meantime they would calm down. So the Kohen who kept samples of a get pashut and get makushar in his large kos shel Eliyahu to remember how they differ got easily upset and impulsively wanted to divorce his wife when she didn't know where he put the kos and had three friends come over to practice writing their signatures between one fold and the next fold on the outside, which reminds us, the Gemara asks, Heichon Edim Chosmin, where do Edim sign on a get makusher? Rav Huna says, Ben Keshu Akeshu, between one fold and the next fold. Rav Yirmiyahu bar Abba says, Achrei Aksav Ukeneged Aksav Mebechutz, behind the text, opposite the text on the outside. The Gemara clarifies that Rav Huna also means the Edim sign on the back of the shtar, but holds they sign between the individual folds on the outside. So once again, the Kohen who kept samples of a get pashut and get makusher in his large kos shel Eliyahu to remember how they differ got easily upset and impulsively wanted to divorce his wife when she didn't know where he put the kos and had three friends come over to practice writing their signatures between one fold and the next fold on the outside. All right, so now it's time for four blabach chazara. Daf kuf nun vav. So the simmer of daf kuf nun vav is a canoe. So here goes. The 13-year-old boy's canoeing. That must be on daf kuf nun vav. Canoe. The 13-year-old boy is canoeing to the Simani Bedika Center, which reminds us, Shmuel said, "Boat canoe, kedushinu, gerushinu, chalitza u'miunin." We check a youth for simanim of adulthood regarding marriage, divorce, chalitza, and miun. The Gemara explains why Shmuel said they should be checked. So the 13-year-old boy is canoeing to the Simani Bedika Center, made sure not to dock near the wicked boys who are maintaining kotzim in a kerem, which is problematic because of kolayim. Which reminds us, Rabbi Eliezer responded, "Bnei Rochel tikborom iman." Rochel's sons, their mother should bury them. They are wicked people. Shmuel explains that Rabbi Eliezer considered Rochel's sons wicked because they were maintaining thistles in their vineyard. He's following his reasoning in a Mishnah which states, "Hamakayim kotzim kerem." If one maintains thistles in his vineyard, Rabbi Eliezer says, "Kadesh." This condemns the field as kolayim, but the Chachamim say nothing condemns a field as kolayim except davar shekamohu mekayimin, something the likes of which people maintain. Since people do not generally maintain kotzim, they do not make kolayim. Eliezer holds that since in Arabia people maintain kotzim for feeding their animals, it makes kolayim. So, the 13-year-old boy is canoeing to the Simanim Bedika Center, made sure not to dock near the wicked boys who are maintaining kotzim in a kerem, which is problematic because of kolayim, and was told by a man in a fancy canoe that it was a gift from a shchimira who gave it verbally to him. on a Shabbos, which reminds us in the next mission, Rabbi Ezra says, "B'Shabbos Dvarv Kayamin." If a Shchimera gives a gift on Shabbos, his words are fulfilled without a kinyan, mifnei she'in yachol lichtov, since he cannot write a v'roba chol, but not if it was given on a weekday. He holds that Shchimera was enabled to verbally give gifts on Shabbos only when he has no other option. Rabbi Yeshua responds, "B'Shabbos Amru," they said, "his verbal gift is effective on Shabbos, kal v'chomer b'chol, then it certainly is on a weekday." He argues that if he can verbally give gifts when he lacks the ability to make a kinyan, then he certainly can when he has that ability. Daf Kuf Nun Zayin. So the siman Daf Kuf Nun Zayin is ice cream cones. So here goes. When the ice cream store shaped like a giant cone, that must be on Daf Kuf Nun Zayin, cones, ice cream cones. When the ice cream store shaped like a giant cone collapsed on the owner and the son, and the son's creditor couldn't collect because Ein Safik Motz Midei Vada, which reminds us, the next Mishnah states, Nafal Bais Olam V'Lo Aviv, a house collapsed on someone and his father or anyone he inherits, and there was a ksuba, a debt against the son's assets. The father's heirs claim, HaBen Meis Rishon V'Achachach Meis Av, the son died first and afterwards the father died. Thus, the son did not inherit the father's assets, and they cannot be collected for his obligations. The creditors claim the father died first and the son inherited him before dying, so his debts can be collected from these assets. Beis Shammai says, Yochaloku, the father's heirs and son's creditors divide the estate. Beis Hillel says, Nechasim bechezkasim, the properties remain in the possession of the father's heirs. Beis Hillel rules, Ein safek motz midei vadei, an uncertain claim cannot extract from a certain claim. So when the ice cream store shaped like a giant cone collapsed on the owner and the son, and the son's creditor couldn't collect because Ein Safik Motz Midei Vadai, he tried collecting other debts from a borrower who told him to ekne. So when the ice cream store shaped like a giant cone collapsed on the owner and his son, and the son's creditor couldn't collect because Ein Safik Motz Midei Vadai, he tried collecting other debts from a borrower who told him to ekne. Which reminds us, Shmuel asked, "De ekne v'kana mahu?" If a borrower writes in the shtar that he's meshabed whatever properties I will acquire, and he later acquired property, what is the halacha? Does it become a shubud to the earlier loans? So when the ice cream store shaped like a giant cone collapsed on the owner and his son, and the son's creditor couldn't collect because Ein Safik Motz Midei Vadai, he tried collecting other debts from a borrower who told him to ekne, but found out he would have to split it with another lender because the borrower also told him to ekne, which reminds us. The Gemara discusses what the din is if one borrowed from two people saying to ekne and then purchased property. Daf Kuf Nun Ches. So the siman Daf Kuf Nun Ches is Kinuach dessert, and we use a dessert reception. So here goes. When the earthquake occurred during the outdoor dessert reception, that must be on Daf Kuf Nun Ches, Kinuach. When the earthquake occurred during the outdoor dessert reception, collapsing one house, killing a husband and wife, which reminds us, the next Mishnah states, Nafla Bais Olam V'Lo Ishto, a house collapsed on someone and his wife, killing them. The Azim's heirs claim the wife died first and the husband inherited the properties, which they now inherit from him. The wife's heirs claim the husband died first without inheriting her, and she additionally became entitled to her ksuba, all of which they should inherit from her. The Gemara brings Malchokas Beis Shem Beis Hillel. So when the earthquake occurred during the outdoor dessert reception, collapsing one house, killing a husband and wife, and collapsing the house next door, killing someone and his unmarried mother, which reminds us, the next Mishnah states, Nafla Bais Olam V'Lo Imo, a house collapsed on someone and his unmarried mother, killing them. The mother's heirs, meaning her brothers, claim the son died first and did not inherit her assets, so they inherit her. The son's heirs, meaning his paternal brothers from another mother, claim the mother died first and the son inherited her, so they inherit her assets. The Tanakhama says, Elo ve'el modim shi'echoloku, both Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel agree that the groups divide her assets equally. So when the earthquake occurred during the outdoor dessert reception, collapsing one house, killing a husband and wife, and collapsing the house next door, killing someone and his unmarried mother, a rabbi appeared and told the guests, who were various heirs to the deceased and debating who died first, that he has clarity now regarding assigning assets since Avir de'Eretz Yisrael machkim. Which reminds us, when Rabbi Zera went up to Eretz Yisrael, he changed his mind to rule like Rabbi Ila regarding where mother and her only son died, and the respective heirs dispute who inherits the mother's assets, and commented, Shema mina avir de Eretz Yisrael machim. We learn from this that the heir of Eretz Yisrael makes one wise because his immigrant to Eretz Yisrael caused him to reconsider his position and arrive at the truth. Daf Kuf Nun Tes. So the similar Daf Kuf Nun Tes is a canteen. So here goes. The young man who took the canteen in camp, canteen, that must be on Daf Kuf Nun Tes. The young man who took the canteen in camp away from a buyer because he was inheriting his grandfather, which reminds us, a ruling was sent from Eretz Yisrael, which is meant it to be. If someone sold his father's property but died during the father's lifetime, the son's son can take the property from the buyers after his grandfather dies, and this is something difficult to understand among monetary matters. So the young man who took the canteen and camp away from a buyer because he was inheriting his grandfather told the camp rav that he could not accept edus from him about his brother's account because it's a gezeiras melech, which reminds us. The Gemara suggests a case for the difficult to understand among dinim amanos is if one signed a shtar of edus for someone, v'nasa chasano, and then he became his son-in-law, he cannot authenticate his own signature since he's now disqualified from testifying about his relatives, but others can confirm his signature. The difficulty is, he's not believed about his signature, yet others are believed. The Gemara concludes that this is not difficult, Dilma Gezeres Melchi. Perhaps it's the decree of the king, Kadosh Baruch Hu, that he cannot testify about his relative while others can, and not because a relative is suspected to lie. So the young man who took the canteen and camp away from a buyer, because he was inheriting his grandfather, told the camp rav that he could not accept edus from him about his brother's account because it's a gezeiras melech, and was overruled when he sold all the nushim bar sisin, but claimed the sour candies were not really from sisin, they were just called sisin sizzling sour candies in name only. Which reminds us, there was a person who told someone, nixei devar sisin mizabninulach, I'm selling you the property of bar sisin, meaning the properties I bought from him. There was a property in his estate called the Bay Bar Sisin of the Bar Sisin estate, but the seller claimed it was not actually from Bar Sisin, but it was merely called that and not included in the sale. Rav Nachman established the land in the buyer's possession, requiring the seller to prove it was not truly Bar Sisin's property. Rav objected that the law should be Hamotzi Mechavero, all of a raya. All right, so now it's time to conclude with our pop quiz of 10 questions. Number one, which duff do we discuss what the minimum age is to sell inherited property? That's on duff. Kufnun Hey. Good number two, which daf do you discuss the sugi of Deekne? If property purchased after a loan can become a shubah to the loan, that's on daf. Kufnun Zayin. Good number three, which daf do we have a machokas where Adim sign on a get makushar? That's on daf. Kuf Samach. Good number four, which daf do the incident of one who sold Nixay Debar Sisin? That's on daf. Kufnun Tes. Good number five, which daf do the case of someone who sold property and died and his relatives claim he was a katan at the time? That's on daf. Kufnun Dalad. Good number six, which stuff do we have machlokas of Rochel's sons were Roshayim for maintaining kotzim in their kerem? That's on daf. Kufnun Vav. Good number seven, which stuff do we learn the differences between a get pashut and a get makusha? That's on daf. Kuf Samach. Good number eight, which stuff do we have machlokas about a matna shchimira on a weekday versus Shabbos? That's on daf. Kufnun Vav. Good number nine. Which stuff do when a get makusha was instituted by the Rabban to hopefully calm down Kohanim, who would impulsively want to divorce their wives? That's on daf. Kuf Samach. Good. And number ten. Which stuff do we learn? Avir the Eretz Yisrael Machkim. That's on daf. Kufnun Ches. Excellent. That concludes today's shir. This is Rabbi Avram Goldar from Zichur Rishina. Great day and great learning.